Welcome to this Tech Thursday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Taylor Charlstrom will be in with a report on an information technology project through the University of California's Integrated Pest Management Program that is revolutionizing education for growers. And Vicki Boyd has a report on end-of-the-season grade sheets with Blue Diamond Almonds, Mel Machado. And I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news beginning with regional ag news right after this.
The Crop Consultant Conference returns on September 28th and 29th in Visalia, California. Co-hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and the Western Region Certified Crop Advisors Association, this two-day conference features two concurrent CE tracks for both PCAs and CCAs. Earn the DPR and CCA credits you need. Network on our trade show floor and join us in giving away scholarships and honorariums presented by Western Region CCA, including the CCA of the Year Award. Visit progressivecrop.com/conference.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is partnering with the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture to launch a Farm-to-Food Accelerator program in California. This comprehensive training program, which has been introduced in four other states, empowers small-scale and women farmers, ranchers, and entrepreneurs to grow their food and beverage businesses through a 15-week online training program. Participants have the opportunity to connect with a community of farmers, food entrepreneurs, and food experts, launch a new food product or enhance an existing product, get free consultations and office hours with experts, participate in online live 75-minute lunchtime weekly discussions, and attend a national or regional food show. Research shows that value-added production, the act of processing raw agricultural goods into finished products such as foods or beverages, can increase profitability, increase shelf stability of products, expand market seasons, increase visibility, and allow farmers and ranchers to enter new markets. The program is a great opportunity to learn skills and approaches to scale up small farm businesses and expand consumer reach. For more information about the program, contact the California Department of Food and Agriculture. U.S. Department of Agriculture meteorologist Brad Rippey says western locals such as Death Valley, California, could reach record high temperatures for September as the heat wave continues through this week.
Now, there is an end in sight to this incredible late season heat wave, but before that happens, we could threaten some all-time temperature records in parts of California, the Great Basin, the Intermountain West, and the Southwest. We've seen temperatures during this heat wave as high as 124 degrees in Death Valley, California. That may actually be topped as we go through the rest of this week. For the record, the all-time highest temperature on record in Death Valley is 125, so we've been very close to that. We could reach that before this heat wave ends.
Last week, Congressman Jim Costa announced a $65.1 million investment from the American Rescue Plan into a challenge called the Build Back Better Regional Challenge. It's a grant for the Fresno-Merced Future of Food Innovation Coalition, led by the Central Valley Community Foundation, to drive agriculture innovation and boost the regional economy. With $65.1 million in funding from EDA, the Fresno-Merced Future of Food Innovation Coalition will accelerate the integration of technology and skills in the region's agriculture industry, improving productivity and job quality for existing farm workers while driving a more resilient and sustainable food system. The projects funded as part of this award include the launch of iCreate, a new ag tech hub with a mission to accelerate the development and transfer of technology between researchers and local universities and farmers across the region. At the same time, community colleges throughout the Central Valley will receive access to new technology and training to equip students and workers with the skills needed to access higher quality, higher paying jobs in ag tech, improving both farm productivity and wages. The Fresno-Merced Future of Food Innovation Coalition is one of 21 winners, each a regional coalition of partnering entities that will receive awards between $25 and $65 million to implement an average of six projects that together will enable each region's economic transformation and competitiveness. The Build Back Better Regional Challenge is an unprecedented competitive federal grant program that provides each regional coalition with significant investments to tackle a wide variety of projects, including entrepreneurial support, workforce development, infrastructure and innovation to drive inclusive economic growth. The Californian $1 billion walnut industry is gearing up for its busiest shipping season. However, farmers have started the new marketing year with a massive backlog of product as they prepare to harvest what could be a bumper crop. The dilemma stems from supply chain bottlenecks that have cut into both foreign and domestic shipments, costing California producers an estimated $1.3 billion in lost wholesale value this year alone. The logistics troubles, including massive container ship congestion at the Port of Oakland, risk handing export rivals like Chile and China a competitive edge. The industry also has had to contend with angry customers and plummeting prices. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has announced a settlement with Ventura Coastal LLC to resolve Clean Air Act chemical risk management violations at its citrus processing facility in Visalia, California. The facility improperly managed refrigeration equipment containing more than 10,000 pounds of anhydrous ammonia and will pay $270,000 in civil penalties. On May 21st of 2019, EPA inspected the facility and determined that Ventura Coastal violated provisions of Section 112R of the Clean Air Act, which governs extremely hazardous substances such as anhydrous ammonia. EPA found that the company failed to keep up-to-date information on equipment, failed to label piping and equipment, did not adequately describe maintenance and inspection frequencies for equipment and instruments, and failed to inspect equipment and correct deficiencies, and did not address internal audit and incident investigation findings in a timely manner. This settlement advances EPA's efforts to enforce environmental regulations that protect citizens from harmful releases of extremely hazardous substances, especially in communities that may already experience disproportionate environmental risks. Ventura Coastal's Visalia facility is in a community that is disproportionately affected by environmental burdens, and incidents like this raise significant environmental justice concerns. Organic romaine lettuce prices have jumped well over 100% between April of 2021 and April of 2022. The average price per pound went from $2 to $5 in that period. While the 2021 average price was significantly below an April 2018 spike that saw prices climb to over $3.50 per pound, the recent surge represents the most significant change in the last 4 years. There are several reasons behind this increase. Lettuce in general are fertilizer-intensive plants that need rich soil to produce economically viable quantities, so rising fertilizer costs have an acute impact on prices. Also, truckload shipping notes that California is one of the highest producing states for romaine. As indicated by the Public Policy Institute of California, the drought is increasing demand for water due to soaring temperatures and decreasing its availability.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
Taylor Charlstrom is up next with this Tech Thursday report.
A new technological approach to online learning could revolutionize the way that growers educate themselves on important topics related to agriculture. Last year, University of California's Integrated Pest Management Program released an animated interactive online tutorial for diagnosing herbicide injury. The free self-guided course got so much praise from growers and other users that it recently ended up winning the prestigious Gold Award in 2022 from the Association for Communication Excellence. Technology team member Peter Cosina helped to develop the training video.
This course is based on an in-person course that's delivered for several years by UC Davis weed scientists with the topic of diagnosing herbicide symptoms. Which can be important for growers if they are suspicious that symptoms that are hard to pin down what can be the cause of symptoms that they find in their groves or fields. The in-person course is a 2 days course, and we took parts of this course that were possible to transform into online shorter modules. Obviously, the online course is not hands-on, so it's the theoretical parts of the course with a lot of visuals that we have added to it. And we thought to make it a little bit more interesting and lighter than academic courses, we have added to it a cartoon characters. So in each module, this cartoon character is kind of guiding the audience through the different aspects of making the diagnosis, what to look at, how to prepare samples for the laboratory, and what may be actually other possible causes of the damage that the growers see in the field, because it doesn't necessarily to be a herbicide-related injury.
A big difference in the interactive course the technology team created compared to previous educational videos UCIPM or other entities put out is that it helped to turn a mundane, rather dry topic into something more lighthearted and engaging, while also still spelling out the importance of detecting something like herbicide drift symptoms in the field.
We have added many interactions in the course, so the audience, the participants are not only passively listening, but they have to be responding questions. They may choose through which order they go through different subtopics in the course. And important to add, what we have also got are continuing education units for this course from the Department of Pesticide Regulation. So the pest management professionals and growers who need to renew their license can take this course for CEUs.
Cheryl Reynolds, another member of the technology team, said that the continuing education aspect of these types of videos makes them all the more important and appealing for users.
It is harder and harder, I think, to get in-person units. And, you know, they're busy and it's hard to travel to locations for meetings. And so I think it's really important and people really appreciate having these online resources so they can take these courses at their own time, you know, on their own, at their own pace, because these courses are designed that you don't have to take them all in one sitting. You know, you can do two modules and then go away and come back and pick up where you left off. And that's what's really nice for these people. And they're available 24 hours a day, pretty much all year long, you know, through December 30th. And so this particular course, people can get 1.5 hours of the other credit from the California Department of Pesticide Regulation. But we also have units from Certified Crop Advisor for 1.5 units. And then also this one, we were able to get some 1 hour from the Arizona Department of Agriculture. So many of our courses, we have credit, you know, available from several agencies.
The way the video course was designed allowed it to win this prestigious communications award and really makes it stand out against other educational content.
I think what makes it different really is the fact that it's not only text-based, that it has all diversity of the content that you can imagine. There are video segments, there are short animations, there is this cartoon character that guides you through the course. There are knowledge checks at the end of each module. I think we have divided it and recorded in pace that's palatable for the audience. So it's not too much at one time. So what we also added and what we care about in University of California is accessibility for people with visual or auditive impairments, meaning all audio is accompanied with closed captions or subtitles. And all images and visuals have alternative text so that even people who cannot see or hear can still learn from this course thanks to these additions.
Another sort of fun aspect of the course is that the cartoon character modeled in the video is not only modeled after, but also voiced by a weed science expert through the University of California.
That's what makes this course really good for people. I think it's good for them to see the, you know, the expert who has all the knowledge to actually be the one in cartoon form, like guiding them through the course. And I think it keeps them engaged and interacting because they see this, you know, this cartoon and he's guiding them through all of the aspects that they need to learn. And we've received a lot of great comments that, you know, this keeps people's interest and they really like going through interactions and seeing the cartoons and the different videos rather than just reading text and advancing to the next slide.
The character is actually modeled after Brad Hanson, the weed scientist at UC Davis. Then he also did all the narration. And, you know, it's not common for academics to agree to take the role, do the voice narration and have actually a cartoon character. And I have to say it was very nice to work with Brad. And many of the people who take this course know him from face-to-face courses and other interactions. So it kind of makes this whole course a bit more familiar. And maybe they can feel a little bit like Brad is with them in the room.
With the video and the technology team earning the prestigious Communications Award, a bar is now set for the type of content, a sort of precedent for the type of content that will be put out by Cooperative Extension and UCIPM.
We definitely want to diversify the content. Traditionally, most of the information produced by Cooperative Extension was shared in text form or in-person interactions. Now, with pandemic and developments in IT, we can do much more interesting stuff like the online courses that are interactive and include more media. And we definitely continue to do that. We invest much more time and energy into short instructional videos that we share through YouTube. We are getting more and more active participation in the social media where our audience is. And we share, Cheryl and I, also what we have learned with others in UC ANR, UC Agriculture and Nature Resources, so that other programs and other offices can also do more interactive stuff, more interactive content.
You know, when we first started online courses several years ago, I mean, they were just pretty much putting voice over to, you know, text moving on slides. And at that time, that was even considered, you know, advanced. But now, you know, we've added so much more, adding videos and animations, and it would be, we wouldn't be able to go back to what we did before. You know, we want to keep moving forward and advancing what we know how to do and keeping people interested.
Reading one review from a user that took the course, they said, quote, "The use of several different types of multimedia concepts combined with the methodical and well-thought-out delivery of technical information really helps keep the online participant engaged," end quote. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
The U.S. Department of Transportation has announced the availability of more than $1.4 billion in consolidated rail infrastructure and safety improvement grant funding. The CRISI program, administered by the Federal Railroad Administration, aims to promote projects to modernize America's freight and passenger rail infrastructure. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said that freight rail is a critical part of the supply chains, and when shipping costs come down, families pay less for goods. Because of President Joe Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law, they're thrilled to announce the biggest round of funding ever to make both passenger and freight trains across America safer, faster, and more reliable. The U.S. Department of Transportation said the grants are very important for short-line railways, whose operations boost local economies and are vital for supply chain liquidity. According to the newly released Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, farmer sentiment has improved. Here's that official report.
Good day, and thanks for joining us for the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer August 2022 survey results. I'm Jim Minter, Director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, and I'm going to share with you the highlights from the August 2022 survey. The Ag Economy Barometer rose this month to a reading of 117, up from 103 last month. And the Ag Economy Barometer is up 20 points over the last 2 months, but it's still 15% lower than it was this time last year. Both the Index of Current Conditions and the Index of Future Expectations rose this month. Current Conditions Index was up 9 points, and the Future Expectation Index was up 16 points, so it was the biggest driver of the improvement in the Ag Economy Barometer. Producers continue to be very concerned about what it's going to cost to put a crop in the ground in the spring of 2023. When we asked them to look ahead to next year and what were their biggest concerns, higher input cost was, for the second month in a row, their biggest concern, with over half of the producers in this month's survey citing that as their primary concern. Producers felt better about their farm's financial situation this month as the Farm Financial Performance Index rose 11 points to a reading of 99 compared to 88 last month. There continues to be a lot of uncertainty among producers regarding what input cost will be next year. When we asked producers in this month's survey to look ahead to crops that would be planted in 2023 and asked them what change they expect to see in crop input prices compared to what they paid in 2022, 40% of producers said they expect either no change in input prices or a small decline. But 28% of producers said they expect prices to rise by 10% or more. That uncertainty is contributing to some of the weakness we're seeing in the Ag Economy Barometer. The Farm Capital Investment Index rose slightly this month to a reading of 39 versus 36 last month, but remains well below where it was this time last year when the index stood at 53. We followed up again this month and asked producers who said now is a bad time to make large investments in the farming operation why they feel that way. 49% said the increase in prices for farm machinery and new construction was the number one reason for them thinking this is a bad time to make those large investments. There was very little change in the short-term farmland value expectation index, with a reading of 128 this month versus 127 last month. However, the index is still down 18 points compared to this time last year, and is actually 20% below its peak in 2021. Once again this month, we asked corn and soybean farmers what they expect to see happen with respect to cash rental rates in 2023. 57% of the corn and soybean farmers in this month's survey said they expect to see cash rents rise in 2023 compared to 2022, and two-thirds of those respondents expect the rise in rental rates to be less than 10%. Once again, we've been asking farmers about whether or not they're engaged in discussions with companies about receiving payments for capturing carbon on their farms. In this month's survey, 9% of the producers in the survey said they have been having those discussions. That's a substantial increase to responses we received in prior surveys. We followed up and asked the farmers who said they've been engaged in discussions what payment rates they've been offered by these companies. Three-fourths of respondents said they were offered a rate of less than $20 per metric ton of carbon captured. We asked farmers who told us they'd been engaged in some discussions with companies about receiving carbon payments, but chose not to sign a contract, what the minimum rate would be that they would need before they'd sign a contract. Roughly two-thirds said they'd need a rate of $30 per acre or more before they would consider signing a contract. That wraps up the highlights of this month's survey. You can obtain the full report at our website, purdue.edu/agbarometer, and you can also get more details on our podcast, Purdue Commercial AgCast, which is available on major podcast providers and at the center's website, purdue.edu/commercialag. On behalf of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, I'm Jim Mintert. Thanks for joining us.
The public can help the authors of the weekly U.S. Drought Monitor Report, USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Brian Fuchs admits, in times of extreme drought, such as what most of the West and parts of the Plains have experienced over the past 2 years, citizen interest grows in what the weekly U.S. Drought Monitor reports. Yet he adds, as part of the National Drought Mitigation Center and one of the authors of the Drought Monitor, sometimes what people see on the ground level in a local area and what the Drought Monitor reports condition-wise for that locale do not correlate.
I think there is a perception out there that if I don't agree with the map, I need to call someone up and let them know.
So with that in mind, in addition to input from 10 authors and several hundred climatology, weather, and academia experts crafting the weekly U.S. Drought Monitor reports, there is also input from you. How? As Fuchs explains.
For the public, we have tools that individuals anywhere in the country can provide feedback of what's going on in their neck of the woods.
It's a process called CMOR reporting.
It's Condition Monitoring Observer Reports is what CMOR stands for. And there's a simple form that anyone can fill out. It's public and there's a link to it. They are able to tell this is what locally is happening. This is what the response to drought has been. Some of them also provide photographs. Hey, this is what my stock pond looks like. It's typically full this time of year. And now you can see it's receded several feet.
Now, Fuchs admits that while a submission of firsthand viewing and photos through CMOR reporting won't necessarily change a category on the drought monitor map,
it may help the U.S. Drought Monitor author see, hey, there's an area that we're seeing a lot of impacts from, and some of it's quite severe. We need to dig into the data a little bit more, talk to our local contributors, and just see what's really going on in this area. So it kind of sheds some light on some of these areas that could possibly be getting overlooked by the process that we go through each week.
The web address to locate the CMOR reporting page is www.gov.com. go.ul.edu/CMOR_drought.
I think there's positions in place where people can submit their information. They can submit what they are seeing on the ground. Also, talk to your local point of contact. Many states have an active state climate office that is participating in the weekly process of making the map, and start locally.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission. Supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
And now a report from Vicki Boyd on end-of-season grade sheets for Blue Diamond Almonds.
Mel Machado, Vice President of Member Relations for Blue Diamond Almonds, looks at grade sheets as a type of report card on how well you did during the current season. Naturally, he will look at weights, which is an indicator of production, but he also looks at reject levels.
Initially, what growers want to look for is the weights. Obviously, they want to know how they did on yields. But I consider the grade sheets from whichever handler you're marketing through to be your report card on quality. And I strongly advise that they get breakdowns on the what the cause of the rejects actually were. It's one thing to know that you had 1, 2, or good Lord help you, 5% rejects, but you really want to know what the cause is, because that can help you fine-tune your pest management program in the following year.
With Blue Diamond, Machado said members have an option to ask for a breakdown about the causes of the rejects. For growers who are not co-op members, they can ask for USDA inspector notes, which break down the types of rejects. USDA inspectors grade almonds at all of the state's handlers as part of the federal marketing order.
For us, when the huller literally checks the box on the delivery tag, requested a reject breakdown, what will happen then is when the grower statement comes in, outlining all of the weights and the quality factors and the dollars generated, it will also break down what the cause of the rejects are. So if you have, let's say, 2% rejects, it will tell you what proportion of that 2% was caused by navel orange worm or brown spot, which is caused by plant bugs, or if it's mold or bird or ant. And you know, primarily you're concerned with orange worm, ant, and brown spot from the plant bugs. Those would be the big three you're looking at.
Machado said the reject breakdown in grade sheets also lets you know what problems might be creeping up. Although having a small ant problem might not seem like a big deal, he said it still shows the pest is out in the orchard.
In our case, I consider 2% to be the desired goal. And the reason for that is that we throw more money at the growers when they're at 2% or less. That's when our premium programs really start to ramp up with higher values. But looking at the individual causes of the problems, just because you're good 1 year doesn't mean that you're golden for the rest of your life. You might have neighbor issues. You might have issues that are creeping up on you that you're not aware of. Some people will say, well, gee, if everything's good, I'm not going to mummy shake this year, for example, and to manage navel orange worm. But that really is the foundation of a navel orange worm management program. There's always a few ants floating around in a field. And while they might not be a significant problem, it's good to know what's out there. And so when I'm working with growers and reviewing grades, if we have those breakdowns on there, and let's say you are at 2% and 20% of that damage is caused by ants, you think, wow, big deal. Well, just know, they're out there, okay? Pay attention. And in the case of ants, I tell growers when you're walking through the field, either going in or going out, look down. Don't just look up at the trees, look down. Be aware of what's on the ground and in the ground too.
Having grade information about the previous season will help growers and their pest control advisors review what worked and what may not have. Some PCAs or field representatives recommend using grade sheets to make a budget for the following year. Machado compared planning for the upcoming season like making a roadmap. You've got to know where you've been to determine where you'll be going.
This is information that you sit down with your pest control advisor and you plan out the next year. A couple of my people will really tout the idea of developing a budget with your PCA as you approach the next year. And that's really a good idea. It gives you a little more sense of security as to what you're facing. You can review what you did last year and in years past and develop a plan for the coming year and any modifications you might need. But what you're trying to do is just develop a plan, a roadmap for the coming year. And without having knowledge of some of the impacts you might be facing, you're doing it in the blind.
Machado said sampling nuts on the ground after shaking and before pickup is a good idea, but typically the samples are only collected from one area. Samples taken by handlers, on the other hand, are collected continuously and give an orchard-wise picture.
I think sampling in the field is always a good idea, but for most people, they're going to sample one area of the field. And the samples you get from the processor are going to be continuous flow samples from different areas of the field. If you're delivering in boxes, or what we call boxes, they're 4-foot bins that hold about 2,200 pounds. Let's say you're going to deliver 50 boxes. Get a breakdown on 3 or 4 of them. If it's going to come in a bulk load, and it'll be one bulk load, obviously get a breakdown on that one bulk load. But get enough breakdown data that's representative for what's across the field. You might have problem areas. I've seen orchards that had a neighbor issue next door, and that side of the field was a mess. Okay, I've seen orchards where, and one that comes to mind real vividly, it was land that had been leveled. There was quite a big bench, about a 6-foot elevation above the neighboring lands. And the ants owned that bench. That little hillside there, that 6-foot hillside, was amazing. They owned it. And depending on which way you're picking up, how that orchard would be oriented, you're either having one side of the field contaminated with ants, or if you're picking up into that bench, that hillside, the last 100 feet of every row you're contaminating. So you'd see something throughout the loads as you're reviewing your data. Neighboring impacts can really play a role in what's going on. It's good to have an idea of what's going on in a particular area, but you really want the whole field as well.
Even if your rejects due to navel orangeworm were low this season, Machado recommended growers continue to shake mummies during the winter. He called winter shaking a base and said it was just one link in the now management chain.
I am a believer in mummy shaking. It is the foundation of a navel orangeworm program. I have become a believer in mating disruption. I've had too many success stories, even with smaller growers. We've got a local pest control advisor who's having good success down to 20 acres. We're developing a program right now in cooperation with the Almond Board and UC Extension, and even DPR is involved in this, to create neighborhood pest management areas where growers will work together in their neighborhood to increase the use of mating disruption. Navel orangeworm management is like a chain, and every link in the chain matters. Don't blow the first one with sanitation.
Knowledge is key to dealing with an issue, and grade sheets provide that knowledge as far as what caused rejects in your almonds this season. This is Vicki Boyd reporting for My Ag Life.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.